Title of today's message is On Hallowed Ground. They say the key to real estate is location, location, and location, in that order. A friend once asked me, "Can you imagine God giving up his heavenly kingdom to come to earth? Or can you imagine people on earth not ready to give up their earthly kingdom to go to heaven?" Well, I think he was a rapturist getting ready to fly away. And I told him some people are so heavenly minded that they're of no earthly good. So where on earth are Christians today? Do we have our feet firmly planted in the ground, or do we have our head in the clouds? If we are no longer a Christian nation, we must be on somebody else's property. At one time, we could say, "This is God's country." But history shows us how title to lands can often fluctuate. God said, "The land is his. It can't be sold forever, but it can be given. But what the Lord gave can also be taken away. He gives life, and he takes it away, and tells us where we're supposed to be." When our race was brought into being, we were told to take dominion of outer space, the final frontier. No, it was right here on earth. And we're still having trouble grasping that concept. Our adversaries don't have any problem or trouble conceiving of a godless totalitarian world. Well, there's two methods of dislocating Christians and to amplify their emotions or intellect to spiritualize away the practical applications of the faith. If we believe the Bible, we should also be able to act upon it. James 1:22 tells us, "Become doers of the word, not just hearers." In so doing, deceiving yourselves. White Christians are deceived if their emotions determine where they commune with God and when they can worship God. Now, this is typical of many charismatic megachurches in their overly opulent environments, being entertained by pulpit celebrities. Other white Christians are deceived if they oversimplify their relationship with God on a mere intellectual level. This is typical of the unchurched believer, independent of fellow believers, playing the lone wolf game, who doesn't need fellowship. Well, we need to find a balance between our emotions and our intellect. It's painful for me to hear, and I hear it quite often, mostly through emails, from new people discovering the identity message and then wondering, where can they go? Well, usually the best I can tell them is to take the initiative to learn the message with a few other people and pray that God will bring kindred to form an ecclesia of responders who are also called. There just aren't that many Christian identity churches around. So feel blessed if you're near one and support it. And we are blessed to have one right here in Northern Kentucky. An old saying is that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So, what is our most important objective? Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." The kingdom, or government of Jesus Christ, is much more than a feeling or state of mind. The Antichrist forces of darkness would like for it to just be an invisible, intangible concept. But It is, in fact, a very real place, a location for God and His people. This real estate is hallowed ground. Only a fool would not realize that the biblical narrative is replete with God's people being commanded to hallow areas in which they live and serve the living God. Some false teachers would have you believe that there is nothing sacred today, and that no piece of land or tangible area is holy. Unless, of course, you're a universalist church giving sanctuary to illegal aliens, or think that the Antichrist Jews live in the Holy Land. But aside from bleeding heart liberalism, that's exactly what hallowed means. It is a sacred area because it is clean morally and physically pure, sanctified by and dedicated to God. God has always given His people physical ground with certain conditions. Adam was given the Garden of Eden. The 12 tribes of Israel were given the Promised Land. And today we have been given the Aryan nations of the world through divine providence. The non-white third world countries are for the most part God-forsaken lands. In other words, they are not hallowed. Eventually, we will live in a Beulah land. Did you know that the Hebrew word for Beulah is Baal? 1166 in Strong's Concordance, and it means master. Hence, to marry, to have dominion as a husband is married. The Lord marries Israel with the land that He has given us to take dominion of. I know that some people take offense to the word Lord because they think it comes from the Phoenician deity Baal, which is 1168, not 1166. But the Lord, as we know Him, is always associated with Beulah, and He is our master. The browning of America with the heathen equals desolation. It's true that where two or more white people are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, there He is in the midst of them. We could be at the North Pole, or flying in an airplane, or crossing the Atlantic in a boat, and Christ would be with us. But we would not be on hallowed ground, because it is not a specific designation which God has declared as a part of His kingdom. China or the Congo jungle will never be hallowed ground. The Temple Mount, which was built by Herod, is a multicultural tourist trap and kind of a cheesy fraud. The destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD made sure that it would never be hallowed again. The reason these places cannot be holy is because God made the divisions between the races and languages so that His purposes might be fulfilled. God brought about the separation of nations by creating boundaries so that they would be set apart. Now, Jewish communism, on the other hand, wants to eliminate national borders and internationalize the world under one auspices like the United Nations, a parallel of the Tower of Babel. However, white people are God's portion of the earth. Quote, "For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance." By virtue of the fact that we are creatures of the land, we are subject, therefore, to the laws of the land. Thus God, in his infinite wisdom, designed man to take dominion of the earth, and that his habitat would be on land. We are Adamites in a garden, or in more legal terms, man on the soil. That's why our white culture has always been agrarian, and is why our enemies always try to destroy the family farms and dispossess our people into the cities. Nationally and corporately, as the body of Christ, the land upon which God gives us to occupy is good, godly soil. It wouldn't make sense for God to bequeath to his people a garbage dump or a cesspool. No, it would be a land, a promised land, flowing with milk and honey. All governments are predicated on geography, and the kingdom of God is no different. If the future of Christianity is just a mental state, not that the mind isn't important, but our minds have a tendency to wander, then we are at risk of forsaking the keys of political power, which were given to us. I, God, will give unto thee, Israel, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. What does a key do? It unlocks something. Where else in the Bible do we hear this word hallowed? Well, the Lord's Prayer makes this point: hallowed be thy name, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's being hallowed here is action in the authority of God, not necessarily a literal name. Jesus said he was the door in John 10:7. Do you suppose there's a lock on that door that requires a key in order to open it? Or do you think it's just a wide open door, as wide as our southern border, and any old vagabond or terrorist can just waltz right on through? Well, the latter would be true if the Bible was completely silent on who may not enter the kingdom. But there's just too much scripture that is exclusionary. Jesus said he was the door of the sheep, not the benevolent zookeeper. So what's the point of going through this door? If any man, Adam, enter in, he shall be saved and find pasture. Well, what's pasture? It's land. What's God's law say about the land? You can't sell it forever. I just don't think we can spiritualize pasture away here. Living under Caesar's law of perpetuity is faith without works. It is a surrender to the wrong power. Once the Christian mindset is built on the prerequisite foundation, the ground upon which we stand becomes hallowed. We must develop a ground swell of Christian activity to make our God-given land subject to the laws of God. God does not dwell in man-made temples anymore, but where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them. Where's the New Testament temple? It's our very own bodies. And collectively, we are the body of Christ. It's not a building per se anymore, but when we stand fast in God's authority, and it very well may be a church building, we are standing on hallowed ground. In any event, it should be our homes, our stores, our schools, our courtrooms, etc. It should gravitate from the local community to the governments of our racial nation. The Greek word for dwell is number 2730, and it means to house permanently, to reside, literally or figuratively. God resides in his chosen race, separated necessarily from other residents of the earth. Within the very genetic makeup of ourselves, the scriptures consider us to be the temple or house of the living God. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. And God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Our physical body is host to an occupant. It is God who occupies Christians in body, mind, and spirit. It's the corpus, or body, of Christ. Our nation is not supposed to be a host to parasites. Don't you know that your body is a house of the Holy Spirit? That's why the white race is superior to all others, because it is God-generated and divinely preoccupied. We advance civilization by the regeneration of Christ dwelling within us, to have a conscious will in harmony with God's will and purposes. We grow into perfection by continually separating ourselves from those thoughts and philosophies that are contrary to the righteousness of God's word. And in this process, we are told to occupy till I come. In other words, we must be about our Father's business for him to take residence. The Bible speaks quite eloquently of that which defiles and corrupts. It is the satanic corruption, or the opposites of Christianity, that destroys hallowed ground. The reality is that believers in Christ meet once a week to worship and fellowship. It's a day of rest. The location is usually a regular meeting place, and the environment is dedicated to God. This area of holiness has an ambiance of respect and reverence. It may be just a room or a building made of wood by man, but God decides whether or not his presence is manifested. If the ground upon which we stand, either America in general or our church building specifically, is not holy, then it can only be unholy and not a good place to be. But I'd say this is a good place to be. When Christians mix the holy with the profane, it's an abomination. The Judaized churches are most guilty of this trespass by calling themselves Judeo-Christians. Who or what gives them permission to appear before the Lord and to tread upon his courts? The pagan piety that tries to pass itself off as the way, the truth, and the life is just recycled Baal worship. God said in Amos 5:21, I hate, I despise your feast days. I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. because churchianity stinks so much to the Lord, it can no longer be considered hallowed ground. The defilement is contempt against God, and he removes himself from the pollution. What Christian in his right mind wants to hold church services in a literal sewer? A hallowed or sacred place means it's clean, not just whited sepulchers. True Christianity is a cleansing process, removing the filth from our lives and lands. Now, this begs the question, what is unclean that must never occupy the location of a sacred place? Well, it's not difficult to discern what defiles the holy. For example, the word defile means to be foul, especially in a ceremony. It could be irreverent behavior during a worship service or prayer time. It could be drunkenness, vulgar profanities, or lewd attire. In a moral sense, it is thoughts or actions that contaminate the body of Christ with something that is contrary to the Word of God. Most churches, unfortunately, are in the sewers of defilement because of denominational heresies and false doctrines, which brings us to the unpardonable sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that is, to scorn and vilify the pure truths of God's Word. Most churches today putrefy their congregations with three blatant lies. One, Jews are Israelites. Two, the white race is Gentile. Three, multicultural race mixing is biblical. The Holy One of Israel commands us in Deuteronomy 23:2, that a bastard shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. Bastard means mongrel or half-breed. It's the Hebrew word mamzer. A stranger shall not come near unto you. You shall keep charge of the sanctuary and the altar so that there's no more wrath or punishment. The alien will pollute the sanctuary, which God calls my house, and the mere presence of an alien stranger God calls an abomination. Quote, ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers. Number 5236, Nakar, that is a non-Israelite. To pollute it, even my house, they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. Well, that sounds rather bigoted, doesn't it? Well, did you know that in the Gothic language, bigot means by God? God made everything after their own kind. The other races did not evolve from Adam. God did not authorize race mixing or a variety of species to intermix, bringing about half-breeds or new subspecies. God said in Leviticus 22:32, I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallowed you. Ye shall be holy men. In other words, racially pure among me. We should be holy because our Creator is holy. And he severed us from the other races. The Bible insists that we put a difference or division between the holy and the unholy, between unclean and clean. We must separate ourselves from the other races because God tells us to do so. The defilement is contempt against God, and he removes himself from the pollution. What Christian in his right mind wants to hold church services in a literal sewer? A hallowed or sacred place means it's clean, not just whited sepulchers. True Christianity is a cleansing process, removing the filth from our lives and lands. Now, this begs the question, what is unclean that must never occupy the location of a sacred place? Well, it's not difficult to discern what defiles the holy. For example, the word defile means to be foul, especially in a ceremony. It could be irreverent behavior during a worship service or prayer time. It could be drunkenness, vulgar profanities, or lewd attire. In a moral sense, it is thoughts or actions that contaminate the body of Christ with something that is contrary to the Word of God. Most churches, unfortunately, are in the sewers of defilement because of denominational heresies and false doctrines, which brings us to the unpardonable sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit, that is to scorn and vilify the pure truths of God's Word. Most churches today putrefy their congregations with three blatant lies. One, Jews are Israelites. Two, the white race is Gentile. Three, multicultural race mixing is biblical. The Holy One of Israel commands us in Deuteronomy 23:2 that a bastard shall not enter the congregation of the Lord. Bastard means mongrel or half-breed. It's the Hebrew word mamzer. A stranger shall not come near unto you. You shall keep charge of the sanctuary and the altar so that there's no more wrath or punishment. The alien will pollute the sanctuary, which God calls my house. And the mere presence of an alien stranger, God calls an abomination. Quote, ye have brought into my sanctuary strangers. Number 5236, Nakar, that is a non-Israelite. To pollute it, even my house, they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. Well, that sounds rather bigoted, doesn't it? Well, did you know that in the Gothic language, bigot means by God? God made everything after their own kind. The other races did not evolve from Adam. God did not authorize race mixing or a variety of species to intermix, bringing about half-breeds or new subspecies. God said in Leviticus 22:32, I will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord which hallowed you. Ye shall be holy men. In other words, racially pure among me. We should be holy because our Creator is holy. And He severed us from the other races. The Bible insists that we put a difference or division between the holy and the unholy, between unclean and clean. We must separate ourselves from the other races because God tells us to do so, which cost the taxpayers $2.1 million in the last 2 years. Well, how many sin cities do we have in this country? A lot! We'd be here all day if I were to chronicle all of the mixed marriages and perverse liaisons of American criminal politicians, or perhaps even days if we were to include the Judeo-Christian churches. But take my word for it, it's out of control. There's always been corruption. But now it's out in the open and in your face. The solution is given in the next chapter of Ezra in 10:3 and 11. which was not just for that time, but for all time. That is, covenant, or be in agreement with God's law, and put away all the alien wives and their half-breed offspring, while confessing your sins and separating these non-Israelites from our society. If our nation is to be hallowed, this purification and cleansing will go beyond our borders. Segregation is just not good enough. Or we will be, in Khrushchev's word, we will be buried. It must be something similar to Hitler's Madagascar plan to emigrate the Jews. If the defilers don't get the hint to remove themselves, they will be removed by force, according to the aforementioned scriptures. If the bastards want to play games, it will be the most deadly game they ever play, and more than likely their last. I happen to disagree with Thomas Chittum's book, Civil War II, in which our country is balkanized into racial regions. Obviously, he's never heard of Leviticus 26:8. Five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Obviously, the so-called Christian warrior militia, the Hutteri in Michigan that got busted for something that hasn't happened yet, will be the perfect dupes for Jewish media propaganda. But that's what you get when you say you're not a hate group and you think Jews are fulfilling the prophecies of Israel. If you're going to play with guns out in the woods and wear camouflage, expect there to be informants and snitches. We should pray for our land to be healed and made holy once again. Only small pockets of ground remain hallowed and undefiled. Swarms of swarthy colors defile our neighborhoods, schools, and churches like locusts. Daniel 12:10 explains that the racially pure shall understand, as God intended the white man to be tried in the refiner's fire, whereas the wicked mongrelizers will not accept the truth. The wicked will not comprehend or apprehend the priestly requisites of temple service when God commanded that not even someone with a blemish or a deformity is to approach the sanctuary and thereby profaning it. In fact, if the stranger or non-Israelite came anywhere near the tabernacle, they were to be put to death. That's how serious God was in legislating the sanctity of his dwelling place. The Holy of Holies was the most hallowed ground for the caretaking of the Ark of the Covenant. But with the first advent of Christ and his sacrifice, the law of temple ordinances were nailed to the cross. The holy temple was replaced with the holy people. Quote, "What? Do you not know that your body is a house or temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have from God, and you are not of yourselves?" In other words, your life is not your own. The new Holy of Holies is in our heart, mind, and soul, where Christ is the head of the body. The true mentality of his believers is the new covenant that Jeremiah foretold of God putting his law in our inward parts. This is confirmed in Hebrews 8:7-13 and proves that our Lord only deals with our race. So there can be no doubt as to the venue of hallowed ground. The greatest Christian nation in the history of mankind is right here in America. It is the regathering place of the lost tribes of Israel, the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, and kindred people. The Lord said in 2 Samuel 7:10, "Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more." Many false teachers coming in the name of Christ would have God damn America with doom and gloom and have us forget the hope and promises of Scripture. And they are the ones who will deceive even the very elect that there is no such thing as hallowed ground. They erroneously interpret America as the Babylon of Revelation, when in fact America is the appointed place where white Christian separatists have nowhere else in the world to find safe asylum, and therefore must fight the battle to restore our hallowed ground so that we may stand with God. We are to be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. If we are going to liberate our people from the Antichrist parasites and Jewish liars, we must free them from the religious leaders that aided and abetted the enemies of God. By removing us from the Christian government of life, liberty, and property, they had to remove righteous ministers who were responsible for maintaining the hallowed ground. There are many unruly men whose mouths must be stopped before they ruin a household. They profess to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. The insanity is that they confuse their imagination with reality. They deny Him by twisting Scripture to justify their unbelief. For them, hallowed ground is everywhere and nowhere. Anywhere but where they are standing and would have to show responsibility to God. These are cowards and charlatans standing on the quicksand of devils. Being a holy nation can only be on hallowed ground. The body of Christ is the bride of Christ. And the Bible gives prophecy about a marriage called the marriage supper of the Lamb. It is the reunion with Jesus Christ with Israel, the white race. Is the wedding going to be in China? Or at a sewage treatment plant? Or maybe a Benny Hinn convention? Or maybe an NFL football game with a stadium full of promise keepers? Is it going to be on hallowed ground? Hallowed because God's people turned again to God for their salvation and not the carnal world of governments of man? And God heard their repentance and prayers and forgave our sins and healed our land? Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, that thou shalt be called Hephzibah. My God's delight is in her, the bride, and thy land Beulah, married. For the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. This new Jerusalem is in America. Through divine providence, a remnant of the white race is fulfilling its relationship with God, preparing the Beulah land for holiness. The blindness of Israel is being removed with some of our people as the dispersed tribes regather in America and discover their true identity and lift up a standard for the people, an undefiled standard of purity. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. And thou shalt be called sought out, not forsaken, a city not forsaken. A home, a church, a community, a state, a nation that is on hallowed ground, cleansed of abominations. As 1 Timothy 3:15 tells us, we ought to know how to behave in the house of God, which is the body politic of the living God, the pillar and ground, or the witness and testimony of truth, the government or kingdom of Christ can only be established on hallowed ground. The truth cannot survive in a mongrelized environment of contamination. Those that don't believe shall not enter the kingdom and will be broken off. They will be pruned like dead branches and burned with all the other Antichrist trash. Now, some folks think the reapers in the parable of the wheat and the tares are celestial angels who shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. But I'm of the opinion that the reapers are terrestrial messengers who do the very same thing in John 15:6, quote, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I think the people that have brought forth abominations and desolations are the same people who brought forth the Holocaust industry, because they know the ovens have their Khazar names on it. I alluded earlier to the day of the Lord will not be a picnic for the pious who think they have done many wonderful things in his name and will not be allowed to enter the kingdom of heaven on earth. Nor will those who forsake the keys of the kingdom and spit on their birthright, as did Esau. Well, I don't know how the logistics of how we're going to get rid of all this subhuman garbage, but I do know that outside the gates of the undefiled city of God, the New Jerusalem, there are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. The Kol Nidra will retreat and fall into some dark foreign abyss. Good riddance. Sorry, Judeo-Christians, but the unrighteous, those you have coddled as God's chosen, are out of the divine loop and will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Stop deceiving yourselves before it's too late. People who continue to be fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, meaning race mixers, and that includes adopting non-white orphans. The effeminate, which is anybody that acts like a woman who isn't a woman. Homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, slanderers, and extortioners will not inherit the kingdom of God. Period. This I know because the Bible tells me so. By now you should know that God only resides with that which is glorified and holy, clean and sacred, without wrinkle or spot. We need to vigilantly remind ourselves of what change the gospel and grace of God has done for us. The blood of Christ, our Passover, and kinsman redeemer, and the washing of regeneration gives us a new start in life. We are no longer condemned in the flesh,
we are forgiven. We must figuratively do as Moses did when he stood on holy ground and put off his shoes from his feet, as the shoes represent the dirt being tracked into God's house, and as Christ washed his disciples' feet so that we could walk without the guilt of sin. With this Spirit of the Lord, we must fight to be right because we are His.